All right. I do hope to get back to a mitzvah a week, but I keep being distracted by topics that I'm interested in. And we just started saying Mashivorach and Rad Hashem soon in Israel. Next week we're going to start with Saint Talamatar. You guys have much more time for that, but it got me thinking about the issue of rain, and it got me thinking generally about rain and the differences in halacha in davening. I'll start with a simple question. Okay, let's stay in the middle of Hashiva Shovteinu Kivarishana in Shmoneh Esrei. You skip the words V'yatzeinu kivat chila v'haser, etc., and you just go to the bracha. Do you have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei? So the answer is, of course not. You said the beginning, you said the end of the bracha. Okay, you missed some words, right? How could it be? I've always wondered about this. How could it be the words Mashiv Haruach Amar Gashem? So I understand, that it's a praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but 6 months a year we don't say it. Okay? So how could it be that if you don't say it, you have to repeat all of Shmoneh Esrei? Right? I understand that the halacha is, if you remember during the bracha, you could say it then. If you remember before you finish Atah Kadosh, you can go back to Mashiv Ruach. But otherwise, you're going to repeat all of Shmoneh Esrei. I have to say, I don't know, emotionally, it always struck me as strange. Like, those words are so important that they're going to make me repeat Shmoneh Esrei. I mean, repeating Shmoneh Esrei, it's bracha levatalos, it's all these things. Okay? That's something that I'll admit always bothered me. The other thing that I think, there's an answer for, but it's worth discussing, and that is, okay, rain is important, and we're going to talk about it. Rain really is important. So fine, if the time for requesting rain is Sukkos time, okay, but you don't want to ask for rain on Sukkos because you want to sit outside, so we do it on Shmini Atzeres. Shouldn't that also be the day on which we start saying the same Talmud Livracha? Right? I understand. One is just a praise of God, one is a request, but it just seems strange. If you think, these are things that we're so used to, we stop thinking about. We stop saying Mashiv HaRuach and the same Talmud Matar on the same day. No, it's not true. We stop saying the same Talmud Matar on the first day of Pesach. Wait, yeah, and we stop, and that's when we also stop saying the same Tal. That's when we switch to the same bracha. So that makes complete sense. You do it on the same day, right? Why is it that we start mentioning rain on Sukkos? Oh, I'm sorry, we start mentioning rain on Shmini Atzeres, but we don't start asking for rain till some period later. It doesn't make that much sense. Okay.
Eli, Chazal call it gevuros, so it speaks to a fundamental characteristic.
You know there's going to be an answer.
I know
Okay?
that. I know
You're
that.
right. You're right. Chazal called gevuros, but all I'm pointing out is your Shmoneh Esrei 6 months of the year was fine without that particular praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my position is, and who am I? Okay, great. You should try to say it. But if you asked me, if I didn't know what the halacha was, okay, you don't say it, fine. You didn't say it the rest of the year all either. You're not going to repeat Shmoneh Esrei just for that. But the answer, of course, is that you do. And so, of course, there's going to be something along the lines of you thinking of, but let's get there. Okay. But where does it start? So it turns out rain plays a role in Sefer Bereishis that we underestimate just because we don't think about it. Okay? There are two words for rain, right? The colloquial term in Hebrew is geshem, but the term used mostly in Tanakh is matar. Okay, both words are used, but obviously we say v'tein talamata livracha, although we say mashiv haruach amar geshem. Okay, but both words describe rain. As it happens, matar is the word that's dominantly used in Tanakh. Now, all I did was check out the first few places by word searching it in Chumash, and you see something interesting. First, it starts in this week's parsha, and that was my excuse for talking about rain this week. I guess I should get you a sheet so you could see what I'm talking about. Okay, can you see it? Good? Yeah, okay. Morty, you have a really big thumb. Unless that wasn't your thumb. Okay. Here's the pasuk. This week's parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'chol siach hasadeh terem yihye ba'aretz. Right? This is Perek Bet and all the confusion between the differences between Perek Alpha and Perek Bet. All of a sudden in Perek Bet, there is no vegetation on the land. V'chol esef hasadeh terem yitzmach. And the grass hasn't yet grown. Why not? Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz. What's going on my sheet? I don't know who just did that. Okay, doesn't matter. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not yet made it rain. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz. Va'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama. And there was not yet any people, there was no person to work the ground, to work the earth. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, okay, the grass hadn't grown yet, things hadn't grown yet. Why didn't they grow? Because it hadn't rained yet. Why hadn't God caused it to rain? Because what's the point of rain without human beings? Rashi makes it even clearer. Ki lo himtir. Uma ta'am lo himtir. Why had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not caused it to rain? Lefi she'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama ve'ein makir b'tovatam shel gishamim. Because, I'll say it in my words, rain is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And if there are no people to appreciate and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that gift, then there's no reason for God to make it rain. And now Rashi really brings the hammer down. Ukisheba Adam v'yada shehen tzorech la'olam. When Adam HaRishon was created and he realized no rain, no growth, hitpalel aleihem v'yardu. Adam HaRishon davened. He asked HaKadosh Baruch for rain, and it rained. V'tzamchu ha'ilanot v'hadsha'im. And all of a sudden, you know, everything grew. So Rashi says, you know, it's a trivia question. What's the first tefillah in the history of the world? The answer is Geshem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it rain in response to our request for rain. If Adam HaRishon presumably hadn't davened for rain, so it wouldn't have rained. Okay, so right away you see that rain isn't just one of the many, many, many things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, but rain has a particular importance. Matar has a particular importance. You know, it doesn't say any place, as far as I know, that if you don't daven for oxygen, God doesn't give us oxygen. But somehow, if you don't daven for rain, God's not going to give us rain. And that's the first tefillah in recorded human history. Okay, now let's just take a few minutes, because it's fun, to just trace the word matar in the beginning of the Torah. And this is just, you know, I just did it with a computer. Anybody could have done it. This does not reveal any great insights on my part. But watch the following. If I asked you, where's the first reference to matar in the Torah? So everybody would have said Noach, right? Nobody would have realized it was in Bereishis, but it's the dominant thing in Noach. Here we go. Second source. Ki liyamim od shiva anochi mamtir al haaretz. So that's our word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noach, in 7 more days, I'm going to be mamtir. I'm going to make it rain. Arba'im yom va'arba'im laila u'machiti et kol ha'yikum asher asiti me'al p'nei adama. And I will erase or wipe out all the yukum. It's interesting. It's going to be the reverse. Usually rain comes and it causes yukum. Here it's going to be the type of rain that's going to wipe out the yukum. And then the Torah continues, Vahili shivat hayamim umi hamabul hayu al haaretz. And then again, a different verb, Vahi hageshem al haaretz arba'im yom va'arba'im laila. So Rashi on the spot says, "Vayi Geshem al Haaretz, ulahalan hu omer vayi hamabul." Wait, which is it? Ela kishahoridan, horidan berachamim. Even at the beginning of the mabul, when God made it rain, the rain was a merciful rain. Sheim yachzuru yihiyu gishmei bracha. If they do tshuva, then the rain will be, you know, rains of blessing. Ukishalo chazru. Hayula Mabul. Okay, so here you see for the first time rain not as a gift and not in response to tefillah, but rather as a punishment. But even here, Rashi points out, it could have gone either way. If we had done tshuva, the rain would have been gishmei bracha. Since we didn't do tshuva, the rain brought the mabul. Okay, so you see here, you know, the potential blessing in rain, but also actually how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can use rain to destroy the world in the opposite way of how we think of rain as being the natural force that supports the world. Ellie. Now, that's an easy one to have gotten. The next one you never would have gotten. I wouldn't have gotten it either, because it's not rain, but it's the same word. Source number three, the destruction of Sodom va'Amora. Vahashem himtir al Sodom. Same word, matar, mem tet resh. Vahashem himtir al Sodom va'al Amora. Gofrit va'esh me'et Hashem min hashamayim. What does it mean? Here, himtir doesn't mean make it rain. He rained down from heaven sulfur and, you know, and fire to destroy stone. So yeah, I guess in English, you know, you would say like he rained down blows on his opponent. So here the verb matar or himtir doesn't mean to bring down rain, but it stands for bringing down from heaven whatever comes down from heaven. Okay? Now, before you challenge me on this, I'll prove it to you, because the next one we wouldn't have guessed either. Now we're up to the man, and it's the same verb in source number four. Vayomar Hashem el Moshe, hineni mamtir, there's the word, lachem lechem min hashamayim, v'yatsa ha'om v'laktu dvar yom b'yomo, leman anasenu hayelech b'torati imlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I'm going to rain down from heaven, you know, bread. And then we'll see if the people keep the rules or not. So, you know, to just make some interim conclusions, matar, the word matar basically means anything that comes down from heaven. Of course, in its core form, it means rain, but sometimes it means terrible, destructive rain. Sometimes it means gafrit va'esh, sulfur and fire. Sometimes it miraculously means food, bread, like the man. Okay, but the word matar means something much more than just rain, at least as used, you know, in the first book and a half of Tanakh. I did not do a comprehensive survey, but this was good enough for me. Okay, that's the first point. Maybe we'll come back to it. Maybe we won't. Now let's go to the specific halachos and see something strange. Source number five. Okay, the Mishnah says on Lamed Gimel of Brachos, Mazkirin givurot gishamim bitchiyat hametim, v'she'ela bibirkat hashanim. So the Mishnah already answers our question, right? We asked, or I asked, what's the difference between Mashiva Ruach u'Morid HaGeshem, which starts on Shmini Atzeret, and V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, that starts at a later date? So the Mishnah says, well, they're two different things. And I've cleverly bolded the words. Mazkirin Gvurot Geshamim means we mention, we comment, mention, or even, you know, Jackie would say we praise God through rain. That's of course, in the first three brachot of Shemona Esrei, right? They're not bakashot, they're not requests, they're praise. So amongst the things we praise God for in the second bracha of Shemona Esrei is rain. But v'she'eila bebirkat hashanim, in Birkat HaShanim, in the not a bracha of praise, it's a she'ela, that's a request. So there, we're requesting rain. Okay, still doesn't really, you know, so okay, they're two different things, but if you ask me, whenever we get around to praising God for rain, which is clearly done during the rainy season, seems like that's when we should also be requesting rain. That's when we should be shoel for rain. Okay? So the Mishnah answers our question. Not the Mishnah in Brachos in source number five, but the Mishnah in Tainis in source number six. The Mishnah says just in a conclusory fashion, Bishlosha b'mar cheshvan shoalim et hagshamim. Okay? On the third of cheshvan, we ask for rain. Don't worry, that's not how we paskin. Not in Chutz La'aretz, not in Israel. We paskin like Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel omer bishivabo. On the seventh of Mar Cheshvan, is when we start asking V'tein Talamata Livracha. And right there, Rabbi Gamliel gives us the answer. It's not really the right date. But why do we do it on the 7th? Because it is Chamisha Asar Yom Achar HaChag. It's 15 days after Sukkot. Who cares? Kidei Sheyagia Acharon Shebi Yisrael Lenahar Prat. So that the last person who came Aliyah LeRegel for Sukkos will be able to get home all the way across the border to Syria. It's a 15-day journey. And presumably, everybody says the same thing, presumably, you know, people who schlepped all the way Aliyah LeRegel to the Beit HaMikdash, it's probably not fair to make it rain on them on their trip home. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel established that it takes 15 days for the last guy to get back to Syria. Great. So as a result, we will delay the request of rain. We will delay the request for rain for those 15 days. Okay? That's the historical fact, and that's the halacha. So now, every time, you know, there's a discussion about should we update halacha, circumstances change, you know, society is different. There's always discussions. I always think, how come nobody makes a big deal out of V'tein Talumata Livracha? Right? You look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, I'll say it in my own words. Really, we should start saying V'tein Talumata Livracha on Shmini Atzeres or Motzei Shmini Atzeres, but because of these people who are schlepping back from Yerushalayim to Syria, we give them 15 days to get home. Okay, great, but we don't have Aliyah LeRegel anymore, right? Why don't we update this halacha? I know it's not the sexiest halacha, but why don't we say, okay, Rabbi Gamliel made it absolutely clear why it is that we're delaying the request for rain. Okay, but it doesn't apply anymore. Why don't we change it? Okay, so the frum ones amongst you will say, you know, even the question is wrong. You can't even think that way. You know, the halacha's halacha, the gzeira, you know, bat la tam la bat la gzeira. Okay, but in fact, I hate to break it to you, it's not me, it's Rishonim. Okay, it's the Ramban, it's the Rashba. I have in source number 7, the Me'iri. It's fascinating. Okay, here it is. He says, V'yesh mi sheposek lish'ol miyad b'motzai yom tov min pnei shehu posek kira... Okay, I got it back, fine. Min pnei shehu posek kira... It says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. It's Rabban Gamliel from our mission in source number 6. Sha'amar b'zayin b'mar cheshvan. V'lo haya Rabban Gamliel omer zayin b'mar cheshvan ela mipnei olei regalim. V'achshav, here it comes. V'achshav she'ein lanu olei regalim af hu shoel tekef l'motzoi yom tov. Says the Me'iri, it's true that we paskin like Rabban Gamliel to start saying it on the 7th day of Mar cheshvan. But that's only because of the people who came on Aliyah LeRegel. Nowadays, we don't have people going on Aliyah LeRegel. Therefore, we should change the psak, Ban said, and we should start saying V'sein Talumata Livracha on Motzei Shmini Atzeres, just like we start saying V'sein Beracha Motzei the first day of Pesach. Okay? It's a fascinating discussion. Now,
there were those that did try to change it. Wasn't it the Rush that tried to when he got beaten down?
I don't think so. The Me'iri came well after the Rush. As far as I know, it could be a Rush. I know it's a Ramban. I think it's a Rashba. You know, it's clearly a Me'iri who lived, you know, well after them. But they tried. So now let's ask an interesting question. It's clear that we paskin, for whatever it's worth to say, we paskin that you only start saying it on Zayin Mar Cheshvan. What happens if, and let's face it, you know, this is at this confusing time. By the way, it's worth it to move to Israel just to be able to say the same Talmud are closer to Mashi Baruch Amar Nagashim. So every day during davening, you don't have to keep reminding yourself which yes and which no. But let's do it. Okay, you're in shul on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, they daven Geshem. Let's assume that you're a person who doesn't care about Corona, so you actually go to shul, right? And they daven Geshem, and it's a big, you know, celebration. So Motzei Yontif, you figure, well, we probably started saying V'sein Talumata Livracha also. So you say V'sein Talumata. Do you have to repeat Shmona Esrei or not? So I'll tell you this. The halacha doesn't deal with this issue. The halacha seems to be that you would repeat Shmona Esrei in some form. But there are achronim. Rav Mirsky has a piece in Higyone Halacha, and he quotes a bunch of achronim who say, no. Bishas hadchak, you could rely on the other shitos. Meaning when you look it up in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to keep saying v'sein bracha until the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. But if you started saying v'sein talamata before that, these posts can say, you know what? You could rely on the shitos of the Meiri and the Ramban, and maybe Jackie's right, the Rush, even though it's not technically the halacha. I suppose when you're up against the issue of bracha levatal and repeating Shmon Esri for a less than critical reason, it's enough to be somichan. So I think, you know, you just store this away. This is a great example of an attempt to have halacha develop in a way, you know, that it might not have otherwise. And it's clear people could say, well, we don't want to change it because la'asid lavo will go back to having Aliyah L'Regel. Of course, La'asid Lavo, you know, assuming not terrible traffic, it wouldn't take you 15 days to get back to Syria. Okay, it's a big discussion. I think it's fascinating. Let's look at how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, source number 8. The Mechaber says, Birkat Hashanim, Tzarich Lomar Ba B'imot Hagshamim V'tein Talumatar. Okay? In Barei Chaleinu, you're supposed to say during the rainy season, V'tein talamatar ube'eretz Yisrael matchilin lishol mileil zayin b'mar cheshvan. In Israel, you start asking from the night of the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. V'sho'alim at tfilat ha-mincha shel erev yom tov harishon shel Pesach. And you basically continue saying the same talamatar until mincha on erev Pesach. Right? Because then you stop saying a regular weekday Shmona Esrei till Chol HaMoed. U'misham ve'elach poskim milishol. From that point and on, you no longer say v'sein talumatar. Now, im sha'al matar b'imot hachama, what happens if you said v'sein talumatar during the summer? So the halach is clear. Machzirin oto, because it's an inappropriate request. So therefore, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. Says the Mishnah Berurah, right, b'imot hachama, he says, De'im sha'al matar achar hachag, af kodem samach yom ditkufa b'medinot hatzrichot lematar b'tchilat hachoref. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Kagan, who lived in Radin, you know, he started saying the same Talmud Talivracha on December 4th or December 5th, like all of you. So he said, what do you do if you said v'sein talumatar before the official start date? So he says, tzarich lachzor ulehitpalel rak b'torat nidava. If that's the case, he says, I guess you have to repeat Shmona Esrei, but since we're not 100% sure, you should do it b'torava. It's a cop-out. It's a halachic cop-out. I don't mean that in a negative way, but that's what it is. What's a tefillat nedava? In theory, what the halacha is, but none of us ever do it, that if you're motivated to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not Shachas Menchan Marv, and you don't want to say Tehillim, in theory, under certain circumstances, you could say Shmona Esrei a fourth time during the day, or a fifth time. Bitorat nedava, not bitorat chova, you're not obligated to, but bitorat nedava. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you know what? It's kind of a, you know, the way to get out of a problem when you didn't, you know, you said v'tein talamata when you really shouldn't have, but it's not the worst thing in the world, is you'll repeat Shmona Esrei b'torat nedava. Okay, but again, in my example, I think it's safe, although I guess it's controversial. I think it's clear that if you, you know, if you said the Tein Tal U'Matar before Zayin Mar Cheshvan, and I'm no posik, so don't listen to me, but certainly beyond Zayin Mar Cheshvan, you know, before December 4th, it seems obvious to me based on these poskim that no, this Rabbi, you know, the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel was you really should have started right away, but we're worried about the people traveling to Syria. None of that applies anymore. Okay, but the halacha is the halacha. The discussion is fascinating. Okay, next point. What's the difference between Mashiv Aruch Amarta Gashem and V'tein Tal U'Matar Livracha? So we've seen already, well, one is an azkara, it's a praise of God. One is an actual request. But it turns out that the halacha is different with respect to each of them. Right? We haven't done it yet, but obviously, you know, it's very simple. If you forgot to say Mashiv Aruch Amarta Gashem, right? I think I mentioned that at the beginning. Before Hakel HaKadosh, you can go back to Mashiv Aruch Amarta Gashem. Otherwise, you're finished and you have to repeat Shemona Esrei again. Okay? What's the din with respect to V'sein Tal U'Matar Livracha? So that's the Gemara in Brachos Chav Tes Amin Aleph in source number 9. Gufa. Amar Rav Tanchum, Amar Rav Asi. Ta'a v'lo hizkir givurot gishamim b'tchiyat ha-meitim. What happens if you forgot to say Mashiv Aruch Amar Gashem during the second brach of Shemona Esrei? Says the Gemara, machzirin oto. Yeah, have to go back. Okay, that's simple. She'ela bebirkat hashanim. What if you forgot to say v'tein talam otali bracha when you were supposed to? Ein machzirin oto. He doesn't have to go back. Really? Why? Says the Gemara, mipnei she'yachol la'omra b'shomea tfila. Okay, that's Rabbi Tanchum's Shita. Apparently the din is, if you forgot Mashiv Aruch Amar Gashem, you have to go back. If you forgot V'tein Tal U'Matar Livracha, you have a second chance. What's the second chance? At the end of Shomea Tefillah, right before you say, Ki Atah Shomea Tefillat Kopem Chayisrael Barachamim, you say, V'tein Tal U'Matar Livracha, Ki Atah Shomea Tefillat Kopem Chayisrael Barachamim. Okay? Ooh, I forgot to mention, and maybe it only applies to me and Henry and some people. You know, if you forgot Mashiv Aruach, but you otherwise say Morid Atal, you don't have to go back. Okay, that's the reason to daven Nusach Sfard, just because it gets you out of a lot of troubles.
It's not only Sfard, it's Nusach Groh, the Groh also.
Okay. Do you do it, Jackie? No.
Yes, okay. I do. I started doing it when I was in Kol Torah, and I've kept up the minig.
So you're faking it. All right, here we go. But with respect to the Saint Talamata, you can make it up in Shomea Tefillah. Excellent. Now the Gemara asks as follows. Wait, could that really be? Meisvei, third line. Ta'a v'lo hizkir givurot gishamim b'tchiyat ha-meitim. The Brisa says, if you forgot, Mashiv Aruch machzirinoto. She'elah b'berkat hashanim machzirinoto. It doesn't say anything about being able to make it up in Shema Kolenu. Answers the Gemara Lo Kasha. Habiyachid habitzibur. No, it depends if you're davening biyachidus or you're davening zeminyan. What's the difference? Bitzibur my time alo. If you're davening zeminyan, why don't you have to repeat Shemona Esrei? If you forgot b'tein tal u'matar, says the Gemara Mishum Dishama Mishaliach Tzibur. Because presumably you'll hear it during Chazara Sashas. Wow, that would be a great loophole. Ihachi, wait, if that's true, hi mipnei sheyachol la'omra b'shomea tefillah, mipnei sheshomea. But the brice of Rabbi Tanchum is clear. The reason why you don't have to go back was because you could say it in Shema Kolenu, not because you would hear it from the Chaza. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Ela idi v'idi b'yachid. In each case, we're talking about b'yachidus v'lo kashya. Ha de'idkar kodem shomea tfila. Ha de'idkar basar shomea tfila. No, the difference in the case is as follows. Rabbi Tanchum said you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei if and only if you remember to say v'tein tal u'matar livracha during Shema Kolenu. But if you forgot during Shema Kolenu, then everybody agrees you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. And that is, in fact, the halacha. Okay? But here you see something interesting. How come there's a makeup bracha for Vitein Talu Matar, but there's no makeup bracha for Mashiv Aruach Amar Hashem? So it could be just a technicality. It could be that, well, you know, there's a bunch of brachos in the Bakasha section of Shmona Esrei. There are 13 of them. So if you forgot something in one, you could do it in another. Whereas for Mashiv Aruach Amar Hashem, there's only three brachot of Shevach at the beginning of Shmona Esrei. Okay, that's a technical answer. But there's a, whoever's scrolling my sheet, could you take me back up? Good. I can handle it from here. Thanks. Okay, but there's another way to look at it. And that's the next big point I want to discuss. We all know that there are things that if you skip in Shmona Esrei, you don't have to repeat. And there are things that if you skip, you do have to repeat. There are additions. Take the easiest case, right? You're supposed to say Zachreinu Lechayim Melech Chafetz B'chaim during Aseres Mei Tshuva. But everybody knows that if you didn't say it, okay, you missed it, you keep going. But if you didn't say HaMelech HaKadosh, you have to repeat. So, you know, you don't have to be a big Talmud Chacham to realize there must be a difference between these additions. And presumably the simplest answer is that there are additions to Shmona Esrei, and then there are things that are absolutely inherent to Shmona Esrei. And so if you skip the inherent one, there's something wrong with Shmona Esrei. If you miss the addition, okay, you missed an addition. The best example, because it goes both ways, the best example probably is Yalav Yavo. Okay, Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh. Because we know the halacha. If you skipped Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. Well, except for Maariv. So without getting into all the details, I understand Maariv is not a tefillah. So there's a discussion. It was originally Rishus, or probably Ein Mikachin Es HaChodesh Balayla, right? Since you can't sanctify the new month at night, so you don't have to say Yalav Yavo at night. Either way, you see that there's a category of things that we want that we add to Shmona Esrei. Some of them, if you don't say them, you have to repeat. Some of them, if you don't say them, you don't. And presumably, the distinction is that if you didn't say certain things, I'll exaggerate, but I think it's true. Chazal look at it as if you did not daven Shmona Esrei, because that's the only excuse for repeating all the Shmona Esrei. It'd be a bracha levatala otherwise. But presumably Chazal would say, listen, if you didn't say Mashiv Aruach Amorat HaGoshem, you did not say Shmona Esrei. Now, why that is, we can discuss in a minute. But that it is seems obvious. Okay? It's so critical. Yeah, you forgot Zachreinu. Okay, you forgot Zachreinu. But you didn't say Mashiv Aruach Amorat HaGoshem. It's as if you didn't daven. Now, why do I think that that's true? I think that's true for a fascinating case. And we'll start with our case, but then we'll move to the more famous one. Let's do as follows, okay? It's Erev Shabbos. And you daven Shmona Esrei, and you know, you weren't paying that much attention. And during, you know, after Lechadodi, it's now Shabbos, after Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, probably you thought about it during the rabbi's Dvar Torah. Remember, we used to go to shul, the rabbi would give a Dvar Torah, right? Not everybody pays attention. You realize, you know what? I did not say Mashiv Oroch, no, I'm sorry. I did not say V'tein Talam Otali Bracha. And you're sure of it. Okay? What's the din? So normally the din is, well, if you messed up your Shmona Esrei, you say two Shmona Esreis for the next tefillah. But what do you do when the next tefillah, which is Friday night Shmona Esrei, doesn't have the opportunity for you to make up the missed V'tein Talu Matar Livracha? Right? What happened? You daven Mincha. You just forgot to say V'tein Talu Matar Livracha. Okay, but the din is, then you have to say two marivs. But would you say two marivs in a situation where it won't help you? Because you don't say it during Marav anyway. Everybody with me? The question is clear? Okay. I don't know why I say okay.
Elliot, it's the same question for Yalla B'Avo Mincha before Yontif ends.
Josh, it's like you're a plant. That's the next, that's source number 10. That's exactly where the discussion takes place. But not in your example. Here's Tosfos in Brachos Chavava Midbeis. Here he goes. Source 10. Ta'a velo hispalel mincha be'erev Shabbos. Okay. Ta'a velo hispalel mincha b'Shabbos. Hispal arvis shtayim. Okay, that's a regular case. The case is as follows. They're going to change the clock. Okay. You the thing that's most important for a person's avodas Hashem is sleeping Shabbos afternoon. Okay. But what happened? You know, it's a short Shabbos. You slept through Mincha. So what's the din? The din is you have to daven Marv twice. Aye, but the Shmona Esrei for Mincha that you missed is different than the Shmona Esrei you're going to make up with at Marv. The answer is you have to do it anyway. Now we come to Yalla V'Yavo. Kasav Rabbeinu Yehuda Im Ta'a V'lo Hizki Rosh Chodesh B'Mincha. Let's say it's a one-day Rosh Chodesh, and you realize at night that you absolutely, positively did not say Yalla V'Yavo during Mincha. He says, Lo Yispalel Od Balayla. Don't say two Shmona Esreis at night during Marif. Why? Delama Yispalel Od. Why would you daven again? Harei Kfar Yispalel Kol Tfilas HaMincha Biba Od Yom Levad Rosh Chodesh Shlo Hizkir. You daven Mincha. You just happen to have skipped Yalla V'Yavo. Im kein, ein marviach klum im lo yachzor v'yispalel b'motzai Rosh Chodesh. You won't gain anything if you daven two Shmona Esreis at Mariv after Rosh Chodesh. Hare lo yazkiro tfilas Rosh Chodesh. V'yud chet, meaning Shmona Esrei, kfar yispalel. Right? He says Rabbeinu Yehuda, okay, it's terrible. You forgot Yalla V'Yavo at Mincha. But davening two Marivs isn't going to help because you davened Mincha. You just missed out on Yalla V'Yavo. And so you're not going to be able to fix that at night because it's not Rosh Chodesh. V'lo dami lahada amar hacha ta'a v'lo ispalel mincha b'shabas de mispalel arvis b'chol shtayim. He says it's not the same as a case where you didn't daven Mincha on Shabbos and the din is you have to daven two Shmona Esreis of Mariv. Perush shel chol, even though there's shel chol, mishum shelo hispalel klal. Because in that case, you didn't daven mincha at all. Im kein, yarviach tfilas yudches, kishem mispalel b'motzei Shabbos, afal pi shelo yazkir shel Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Rabbeinu Yehuda says, do not repeat Shmona Esrei, motzei Rosh Chodesh. If you forgot to say Yalla V'Yavo during Mincha. Why? Because there's no benefit. You daven Mincha. You daven Shmona Esrei. You got credit for saying Shmona Esrei. What you didn't get credit for was saying Yalla V'Yavo. But you're not going to get credit for saying Yalla V'Yavo at night either because it's not Rosh Chodesh. So you can't fix your mistake. And don't ask me, wait, shouldn't it be the same if you slept through Mincha on Shabbos afternoon? Why would the halacha be that you have to say Shmona Esrei twice at Mariv? The Shmona Esrei that you say at Mariv is not Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. It's not the Shmona Esrei you missed at Mincha. He says, but that's different. Because in that situation, you didn't daven Mincha at all. So if you didn't daven Mincha at all, you have to daven two Marivs, even if the Shmona Esrei that you're going to say at Mariv is not going to technically fix the Shmona Esrei that you missed, because the Shmona Esrei that you missed is the Shabbos Mincha. And the Shmona Esrei, you're going to say Motzei Shabbos, is the regular. Okay? That's pretty straightforward. But then he quotes the Rif.
Ellie.
1 second. Umihu Barav Ilfis Lo Mashmakein. In the Rif, it doesn't sound that way. And he says, Da'afilu Heicha De'eno Marviach Klum. Even where you're not going to be able to fix the mistake, meaning you miss Yalla V'Yavo at Mincha. You're not going to be able to say it at Mariv because Mariv is already not Rosh Chodesh. Matzrich lehit palel pa'am acheret. The Rif, for some strange reason, requires you to daven Shmona Esrei again, even though you're not going to be able to fix the mistake that you made in the previous daven. So for Tosfos, this is like a huge question. How could the Rif think that way? But the Rif is exactly the second, one of the sides that we presented. The Rif's Shita is clear. On Rosh Chodesh Mincha, if you missed Yalla V'Yavo, you know what that means? It means you didn't not daven Mincha. It's substantively the same as not having daven Shmona Esrei at all. Why? Because Yalla V'Yavo is a critical element of Shmona Esrei on Rosh Chodesh. And if you didn't say it, then it's as if you skipped Shmona Esrei completely, which is exactly what I think we have to say about Mashiva Ruach Amar Dagashem. We think of it as just being three words, but I think the halacha would say like the Rif, and that is, they're not just three words. For whatever reason, they're a critical element of Shmona Esrei. And if you didn't say those three words, despite what you think, you did not daven Shmona Esrei. And therefore, you have to make up the entirety of that Shmona Esrei, because it's not an addition. It's not a nice thing for you to have done. It is a critical element to Shmona Esrei. Okay? And therefore, in theory, the same thing about the saying Talu Matal Livracha. It's a critical element of Shmona Esrei, and without it, you did not daven Shmona Esrei. Henry, what do you want to ask?
The Tefillah on Shabbos is Mekatzer, because I think Gemara says because we don't want to be Matriach people on Shabbos and we make a short of Shmona Esrei. So really the weekday Shmona Esrei is good on Shabbos.
And therefore, I agree with what you're saying, and therefore what?
And therefore repeating it on Maariv, if you miss Mincha on a regular Shabbos, would not be comparable, because it's not like it's unique. In other words, you be Mekayim Shmona Esrei if you made.
I think it's probably true. I don't think you need it. Meaning, you're trying to say that no, really, the weekday Shmona Esrei is the same as the Shabbos Shmona Esrei, because you could have said the same thing. You're probably right, but I don't think it works in the opposite direction. What you missed was Ata Achad V'Shimcha Achad, etc., etc., and you're not saying those words at Maariv. But either way, we found an example where we can see better exactly how certain elements of Shmona Esrei are Ma'akev, and certain elements of Shmona Esrei are not Ma'akev. Now what's left is simply to ask, why is Mashiva Ruach and Marid HaGashem so critical to Shmona Esrei, such that without those words, it's as if you didn't daven Shmona Esrei? And this goes back to where we started, and to a certain extent, to call it, the philosophy of rain. But it turns out it's not just such a fancy thing. It's in a pasuk. It's just in a pasuk that we don't pay that, we probably don't focus that much on. I could tell you the Zionists focus on it much more. Okay? Source number 11. In Dvarim, I guess in Akev, says the Torah, Ki ha'aretz asher ata bashama lirishta. The land that you're going to, the land of Israel, lo keretz Mitzrayim hu ashe yitzatem misham. It's not like the land of Egypt that you're leaving. What's so special about the land of Egypt? Asher tizra et zaracha v'hishkita beraglecha kegan hayarak. Where you can literally water the fields with your feet. What does it mean? So everybody explains as follows, right? The Nile is a consistent source of water for Egypt. How do they water their fields? They make these little tributaries or little, passageways of water, which can be closed and open. How do you open them? You kick it open with your foot. That's what the pasuk means by you can water your field with your legs. However, the land of Israel, v'ha'aretz asher atem ovrim shama lirishta, but the land of Israel, Eretz Harim Uvikaot, it's a land full of valleys and hills. Limitar, that's our word matar. Limitar Hashamayim Tishtemayim. The only way you can water your fields in Israel is through rain. I mean, technically speaking, you could store the water, but no rain, you know, it's a drought. There's no water in your fields. Now that sounds terrible, except it comes with a bit of a promise. You'd bet. Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doresh ota tamid. The land of Israel is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has particular hashkacha on. Einei Hashem Elokecha ba mei reishit hashana ve'ad acharit shana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha is on the land of Israel all year long. What does this mean? Okay, it's counterintuitive, but it's a really important point. Says the Rashbam in source number 12, Kain Shitat Parshiat Halalu. That's, he says, that's a theme in these parshios in Devarim. Srichim atem lishmor et mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem. You have to keep the Torah. Ki haaretz hazot tova me'eretz Mitzrayim lishomrei mitzvot. V'ra'a mikol ha'aratzot lilo shomrim. The Rashbam says, and you know, it couldn't be any clearer. The land of Israel is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very simple. If you keep the Torah, there's no land in the world that's better than the land of Israel. But if you don't keep the Torah, yeah, you're probably better off not living in the land of Israel. You'd be much better off in Egypt. What's the difference? What's the benefit? Right? Wouldn't we want to live in a land where we have a ready, sustainable, dependable system of irrigation all the time? Well, the point seems to be that if we did that, what would we daven for? To live in a land where you're dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to say to yourself, I'm happy to, you know, I want to live in a land where when I daven for rain, for example, I understand that without rain, you know, I won't have anything to eat tomorrow. My family won't have anything to eat tomorrow, right? The status of being dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that we very much want. And say the psukim in the Torah, it's the defining element of living in the land of Israel. To live in the land of Israel is to say, I'm going to live in a land that's dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. And without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agreement, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's willingness to make it rain, we're not going to be able to eat. Now, it's true. Let's ask, you know, instinctively, maybe we want to be independent. But dependence is the critical element of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's seen through the metaphor of rain. Go back to, go look at source 13, back in Sefer Bereishis. Vayisa Lot etena vayarat kol kikar yarden ki kula mashke. Lot is now given by Avram a choice where to go. He looks out at the Yarden. It's all wet. It's growing. It's beautiful. Lifnei shachet Hashem et stomet amra kigal Hashem keretz Mitzrayim boachat soar. It's just like Mitzrayim, and that's what Lot picks, and that's the failure. Lot wanted to live in a place where he could be independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go to this week's parsha. I don't know who says this, but what's the punishment of the Nachash? Va'afar tochal kol yimei chayecha. Asks somebody, and if anybody knows, just chime in. How bad a punishment is that? It means wherever he is, he has a ready food source. And the answer is, yeah, he doesn't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically disowned the Nachash. To have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to recognize our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's most easily seen through rain in the land of Israel, where either it rains or you're going to starve. And we know the psukim, but it pays to read them again from Shema in source number 14. V'ayayim shamo atishmuel mitzvotai asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. Right? If you keep my mitzvos, la'avot Hashem Elokechem u'lavdo b'chol v'avchem v'chol nafshechem, then what happens? Then I'll make it rain. What if you don't? V'chara af Hashem b'chem v'otzar et hashamayim v'lo yihiyem matar. Right? If you don't keep the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I won't make it rain. It turns out that without noticing it, you know, rain appears in so many places in Tanakh, and it's always there as a metaphor for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the message, I think, is, to come back to our main point, yeah, that's exactly the point. Mashiva Ruach HaMoed HaGashem is not one of the many praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the defining element of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, to skip it in Shmona Esrei is to basically not have davened. It's to not have said Shmona Esrei. And the reason behind it is simply this, that it recognize, you know, it symbolizes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Lichtenstein said this many times. You know, he said, people want to be independent. And people are like embarrassed to need help. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Right? When we daven Shmona Esrei, we're supposed to feel, and let's face it, we now live in a time where for the first time, certainly in my life, the sense is, you know, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, we're in deep trouble. Science isn't going to fix it. Technology isn't going to fix it. We need help. And it turns out that the metaphor for our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rain. And therefore, v'tein talu matar liv racha, because we've already seen rain can also be destructive. Therefore, mashiva ruach amar agashem and v'tein talu matar liv racha, they are, if not the essence, one of the essential elements of Shmona Esrei. And without them, unlike most other words of Shmona Esrei, without them, it's as if you didn't say Shmona Esrei and you would have to repeat it. Okay? We basically looked at the background of rain in Tanakh. We looked at the interesting questions of when do you repeat, when do you not repeat? Could there be a period of time in which really the halacha should have been that you start saying the same Talamotar on Motzei Shmini Atzeres? We talked about that interesting development in halacha. And then finally, you know, the chakira of things that you miss in Shmona Esrei, that, okay, you just missed, and things that if you miss in Shmona Esrei, it's the equivalent of not having daven Shmona Esrei, which is true of both Mashiv Orach Moed HaGashem and V'tein Talam Atali Bracha. Yashkach to everybody.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much, Eli. Shabbat Shalom.
All right.
Shabbat Shalom. Thanks.
Shabbat Shalom.